Oh. Hello. Welcome back, everyone, including me. It's been a long time. And I've been trying to decide whether or not to share why it's been a long time. And I've gone back and forth, but because of the mood I'm in right now, I'm just gonna go ahead and give you a short little story. So, I don't even remember the last time I released this. And since then, I've shrugged off when people have just been like, "Hey, you haven't released a podcast in a while." And I'll say, "Yeah, I know. I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy." Which is an easy thing for most of us to say. To be totally honest, I think that I've just been scared that this isn't good enough. I had high expectations for a long time about this. I remember when I first got my microphone and started recording and stuff, and knew I was gonna get huge immediately, and that didn't happen, and it's not going to, and at least not anytime soon, and I think that's okay, and I think everyone thinks it's okay. I've kind of changed why I do this, and I mean, I've said from the beginning I do it because I enjoy it, but I realized after I stopped doing it that I really kind of get energy from it, and, I miss it, but I've been scared because since I last posted one, I started listening to, well, let me backtrack a little bit. Before I stopped recording and posting, the only shows I listened to that were podcasts were shows like You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes and Nerdist, hosted by Chris Hardwick, and In Conversation with Jeff Garlin, and they're all very conversational, and I modeled mine after theirs. You have one person or two on, and you just spend time talking and asking questions. It's very low editing, very simple. You have an intro, which I didn't even used to have that. But you have an intro, and that's really about it. Between when I last released a show, and now I started listening to Radiolab, which any of you that listen to or read My Favorite Things know that I really like Radiolab. And when I first started listening to it, after the first episode, I thought, this is incredible. Not just because of the content. My phone's on. Not just because of the content, but because of how well it's produced and how much effort these people put into it and how many times they re-listen to episodes and edit them and how obvious that is because of how good it is and blah, blah, blah. And I really felt inferior. And then not only did I just leave it there, but I listened to Serial, and I've started listening to Invisibilia and 99% Invisible and other shows that are very highly produced, and it made me feel like I wasn't doing a good job. So since then, I've really just been using that as an excuse and using busyness as an excuse, and I haven't released it. Well, today that's over, and I don't want to talk for forever about my feelings and why you 12 people listening haven't heard me in a long time. But that's the story, and I hope to never stop doing this, no matter how big or small it gets, and no matter how long it is between posts. And I hope to never stop writing, even though it might be months between blog posts and stuff, but I do get energy from it, and I hope that any of you that consume any of my stuff get the same energy. So moving on, today's episode, Grant, sorry for such a long intro, people might turn your episode off between the time I start it and finish it. Grant Greenwood, one of my friends, he was the guy that pledged me into the club that I was in undergrad, and he since then has become a good friend, someone I definitely look up to, and have gotten to spend more and more time with as the years have gone on. We spent a lot of time talking about really random, this one might be the most just random episode I've released so far, but we definitely talk about Shark Tank a lot, which is great because Shark Tank is so good. But Grant and I definitely are going to be on Shark Tank someday, and so know that now. Be expecting it because it's going to happen. Shark Tank, purpose, like I always talk about, what it's like to have a son, what it's like to work in higher education, all that fun stuff. I hope you enjoy, and I look forward to what comes next. See ya.
So I refer to you as DJ Mikey Mike the whole time?
If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to put DJ Mikey Mike down. This is where I want to start. You ready? Oh, dang it. I messed up. I want your top five favorite words.
My top five favorite words?
Yeah. Like, on the way over here, we saw a guy driving around in the median on the highway. And I said, what's that nitwit doing? And I realized nitwit's probably one of my favorite words. Mm-hmm. So, top five.
Are we live right now?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay.
Did you not check the mic?
I didn't realize that the red light meant that we were going.
It doesn't. That means that it has power.
You got to give me a sign or something.
No. I like to just start.
Sign. Top five favorite words.
Freaking
I would say one of them would be octagon.
Like octagon?
Octagon, yes.
Why octagon?
I like to, you know, when I get hot to trot, sometimes I like to say, let's take this to the octagon.
Like the fighting ring?
Like UFC.
But not a ring, it's an octagon.
Yeah, it's like a metaphor that says, like, hey, I'm charged up right now.
Charged?
Charge it up.
That's a good word.
That's another phrase. I mean, I don't know if that would be a word.
It's a phrase.
But a phrase that says,
I got you.
I'm charged up right now.
Right meow.
Right now.
I'm charged up right now.
It means that I'm irritated.
Scared.
So that I don't know if that
would
count.
That's a good one. Okay. Is that your number one, octagon?
This is not in any particular order.
Not in rank. Let's get this. Get that.
So octagon. Octagon.
Octagon.
Charged up.
Oh, okay. So we are going to use that.
Yeah.
We can say phrases.
Phrases too.
Charged up.
Along those lines.
That's your next one? Along those lines?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Speaking of charged up, turnt up.
That's a pretty popular.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular one amongst my household right now.
Does Luke say that a lot?
Well, I'm hoping it'll be one of his first words.
Daddy, let's get turned.
Up. Turned up.
Well, Daddy, let's get turned up. Turned up.
I feel like all mine are going down the same theme here.
That's okay. That means you have a clear favorite.
I guess
favorite
so.
Favorite theme.
I don't know what that says about me, though.
Me neither.
Hopefully.
That you're very one-dimensional.
Well, I'd like to think of myself
There's
as
no
a well-rounded
depth.
Individual.
You're clearly not.
I don't know my other two.
Two more.
Because I use those so frequently.
What about not bunko? What's the one that you say? Pre-dicky dick.
Yeah, that one's a good one. I do say bunko night. Bunko night is referring to anything that I'm not invited to.
Anything that Sierra does that you're not invited to?
It just
or
in general.
Anything.
It just in general.
Like if you called me and I said, or you said, hey, what's up? I was like, oh, no, nothing. Me and Josh are going to go play some whirly ball.
And I'm going to say, oh, I guess I didn't get invited to Bunko Night.
Or
if it's a gender-specific event,
okay.
Particularly, that's a good one to use it. Like Sierra's, I'm going to go eat lunch
with the ladies.
Say, okay, I guess I'll stay home with Luke while you're at Bunko Night.
Even though it's lunch.
Right.
And they're not playing bunko.
Right. It's a metaphor for anything that I'm not invited to.
So is my bachelor party this week? And does that count as bunko night?
Well, I got invited to that. So
it doesn't count.
I mean, it could count for someone else's bunko night, but not mine.
It's Sierra's bunko night.
Yeah, Sierra's having bunko night. No, I'm going to bunko night. Sierra didn't get invited to it.
Right.
To your bachelor party.
I was about to sneeze. Yeah, I don't want Sierra at my bachelor party.
Or bunko night, so...
Have you thought of any more baby products for adults?
I think we've got, we're on.
What do we have so far?
We're on to some really good ideas. I really think this has the potential to be a coffee table book that we could sell a lot of.
Yeah.
But the swing, the baby swing.
Baby swing for adults.
Yeah, having a baby swing for adults.
That I think automatically swings and has the remote control.
Yes. This might be better served as like a Instagram Vine, so you can have like a short video of it.
Okay.
To really kind of get our idea going.
Oh, hey, Josh.
But also the baby carrier, like when you snap it into the car, like the car seat, I guess.
Who carries the adult man?
Yeah,
out
someone's an adult man sitting in that car seat, and then you lift them up into it and click them into it. Just imagine the picture there where your legs are like hanging over the back seat.
That's a pretty good picture.
Barely fitting into it. Or like if I was to carry you into like Walmart or something. I just
and
think
put me in the adult size back part of the grocery cart that has the leg holes.
Yeah, and admittedly maybe this is only funny in my head.
It's still pretty
but
funny.
I think I need to create this just so I have.
What about like pacifiers? Or
yeah, see that could work too.
Onesies.
I mean, it's endless. Like changing table.
A changing table.
Diapers, but they do actually make diapers for adults, so
that's true.
That one
that's
is
taken.
Feasible.
But I don't think they look like what babies wear.
I don't know.
I don't think you're changed as if you were a baby. Like I wouldn't grab you by the torso and put you onto a table and wipe you and everything.
Hey, well, you know. I don't know because I've never had experience with them, so maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Josh, have you ever changed an adult diaper?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. We're trying to figure out how that
works. There's a bucket list item for you.
Changing an adult diaper.
Changing an adult diaper.
Yeah.
See, none of us know what it looks like, so we don't know how it works.
Google pics, Google images.
I'll go try one on.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
Would you go put one on?
But I think there's potential in the whole, this general idea.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of directions we can go with it.
So you
a stroller in the park.
Yes. Adult strollers, I actually think people would be into that. Like if it's lightweight, and I could actually push you around and we could take turns.
I think they call that a wheelchair.
Or a rickshaw.
I don't know what a rickshaw is.
Yes, you do. It's the, they started it in Asia, maybe Asia Minor.
Oh, yeah.
And you...
Okay.
You pick up, it's like two wheels, and you just pick up the sticks and you run with it.
Yeah. But that's not going to fit into our concept if it already exists.
But if it, picture a stroller, a baby stroller with
that's
a
what we're
human
thinking. Okay.
Adult in it, and you're pushing forward.
Yeah.
It'd have to be a little more laid back. Like, it'd have to be flatter so that it could still be below eye level. Because it would be, like, really tall. But we could take turns.
Yeah, we could. But I think there's potential there. I think we need to start
but you don't
searching
think this
out
a
publisher.
A good business model. You just think it's a funny idea.
I think it could turn into a business. You know, like the cats.
Uh-huh.
The cats. The
right. No. I'm saying you don't think we should actually manufacture these items.
No.
It's just a funny.
Humorous.
It's a humorous.
Yes.
We
I'm thinking
sell books.
Coffee table book.
We could sell.
This is where this is best served.
Could start some hashtags.
Hashtag
it
hashtags up. To promote our coffee table book.
What would the hashtag be?
Hashtag adults and baby things.
That's a good one. We
that
should
one's not
start
near
this
catchy
anyway.
Enough.
No, I think hashtag adults and baby things is perfect.
You think so?
It's just long enough that it's funny.
I think we'd have good luck.
Can we do adults in the letter N?
Yep.
Baby
there you go.
Things with a Z?
There you go.
Okay.
I think there's potential there. I think we could get a publisher fairly easily. We need a good sample, though. We need to provide them with content that says, this is what we're thinking.
I think Josh has a question.
I have no idea how to lock him in.
Don't.
You don't lock him in, Josh.
He's good.
He's safe. He's safe in the swing. Josh, do you have any ideas for adults and baby things items?
This thing.
We already got the swing.
We already said that one.
The bouncy things, I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
bouncy things from the ceiling.
I love it.
That's pretty good.
That would be hilarious.
That's pretty good.
That's a good idea. We have other good ideas, folks, but we can't share those because they're actually going to happen. And they're not copyrighted. Can we copyright something just by saying copyright? Copyright.
I don't think it works like that. I don't think you can copyright an idea. You
can
copyright.
You can trademark it.
The idea?
You can patent it.
You can patent the idea if it's something proprietary.
What's proprietary mean?
Like inventive or new or like a new technology.
So if it's a type
invented,
of food truck, we can't patent
maybe
a type of food truck.
If the food where you were selling was a new technology or
like a new kind of fruit that we grew.
Yeah.
Excuse you.
But I'm full of ideas. I think one of my life goals is to get on Shark Tank, so I'm always thinking.
What would you present?
Well, one, the baby idea.
But,
two.
Oh, the book.
What do you mean? Oh, the book, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be one of them.
Sure.
If that got shot down and they all thought it was stupid, I immediately transitioned to a new idea.
You're just like,
okay, yeah, you're right. You're right, Mark. That was stupid. Hear me out. I got another one for you.
What would it be?
Hot Pocket.
Just
specialty.
Hot Pocket? A Hot Pocket. Have you ever
specialty
heard of it?
Specialty Hot Pockets. Think of it like this.
Now,
okay?
now we've started talking about it, so you have to bring it up.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a food truck or an actual venue, but picture this. You're like at Subway. You know, you pick your ingredients. I want my sub to look like this, or you're at Chipotle.
Uh-huh.
I want my burrito to have this in it. Specialty Hot Pockets. We have all our ingredients lined up. Say, what do you want? You can make anything. We have some crazy, you know, crazy ingredients.
Bacon.
Calamari.
Oh, that would be good.
Anything. You know, that the sky's the limit
there.
Do we
have specialty flaky crust? Like, can you
wheat? There's multiple, yes.
Jalapeno cheddar crust?
And then we fill it, you know, with their ingredients.
Uh-huh.
Make the Hot Pocket for them.
Sure.
They pay us money for it.
Yeah.
I really think people would go for
it.
That. I really think people would. Because you can't, you will never come across one single American that doesn't know what a Hot Pocket is. And
that's true.
You know, if they might say, like, oh, those Hot Pockets are disgusting, they might be intrigued by the actual idea. Like, Hot Pocket, I can make one?
Wait a second.
I'm going to try that.
And they're not, they don't come out of a microwave?
Yeah, and it's delicious. It'll
it'll be
delicious.
I love that at your face, as Jim Gaffigan would say.
Yeah. And it'll be delicious, so.
Didn't we come up with a name?
I don't know if we did.
It was like,
I haven't gotten that far with my idea.
But no, you and me and Sierra sat around and talked about it. It
but
was
I can't
like
remember it.
Scorching canisters or.
Oh yeah, it was a synonym for hot and a synonym for pocket.
For pocket, right. But I don't remember what it was now.
Yeah, I don't know either. Sierra came up with a really good one.
The scorching pouch?
I think it was something like
sizzling,
that.
The sizzling pouch? Sizzling sack?
I think so. I think the sizzling pouch was it.
Something like that.
Needless to say, it's something we need to work on before I pitch it to Mark and all the rest of the sharks. So
that's a good thing. Hey, Luke, could you keep it down? I'm trying to record over here. He doesn't care.
No, he usually doesn't. But
didn't care.
I'm full of ideas. Those are my two main ones that I'm rolling with right now.
Do you have any other life goals?
To be on Shark Tank is one of them. That one's kind of a not-so-serious goal. One goal I like to have would be to get a doctorate one day.
Yeah.
I think I would like to do that.
And?
I think specifically higher ed.
Yeah.
Administration.
Dr. Greenwood.
Dr. Greenwood has
it
a nice ring to it. Yeah.
That does sound really good.
So that's a life goal of mine.
Do you know, what are the options for specialties with higher ed?
Because
you wouldn't just get a doctorate in higher ed.
Well, they do have programs specifically geared toward administration, like higher ed administration or higher education leadership, things like that. That's kind of the route I would go. It's kind of a practitioner's degree.
There's several options for that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few out there. Yeah, I mean,
I think
see myself.
What Roseboom has, right? Is it doctorate in higher ed, or is it leadership? Or is it leadership in higher education?
I think it's that.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be one of my goals.
That's a good goal.
To go down that line.
Any other ones? Just to be on Shark Tank and to be a doctor?
That's it. That's all.
But
I
you
have
to be a doctor before you go on Shark Tank so that they have to call you Dr. Greenwood.
Yeah, that's right.
On Shark Tank.
While I'm pitching my Hot Pocket idea.
You start with the baby products and then you're like, forget it. Hot Pocket food truck.
That's only if they don't like it.
Right.
We could have some sharks pick up on that one.
The FUBU guy would be all over the baby thing.
Yeah, he probably would.
Whatever
his size. Those are two of my immediate life goals.
Well, you own a house now.
Yeah.
That was probably a goal.
Yeah, that was probably a life goal of mine. And we renovated it, which was fun to do.
You have a son now.
Have a son, start a family. That was always a goal of ours. And Hopefully it'll be bigger one day. We think we're going to have 2, 3, 4 children. We don't know yet. We're kind of seeing how this one pans out.
Sure. He's looking good so far.
Yeah, I think so. If he's any indicator, we might have a few more.
Badass airplane onesie on.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And his Nike socks, so.
Nike socks. He's already hip. Hip and cool.
Real cool.
You just need to get him some fake glasses and some Sperry's to wear with his Nike socks.
I can manage that.
Look, he even thinks it's funny.
Well.
That's a good segue. How does it feel to be a father?
It's one of the most rewarding experiences, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. It's a love you can't explain until you experience it. But it's one of those things where you're always excited to see him.
Yeah.
You know, and he feels like he's always excited to see you. And he's smiling right now.
Yeah.
Can't help but love that. But it's a very rewarding experience. Even this early on, you know, we've kind of got a taste for it. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm most excited to kind of see how he develops and see his personality come out a little bit more.
Sure.
And to be able to foster that and to,
yeah,
you know, kind of hone kind those of gifts and
yeah.
talents he was born with, I think is exciting. And, you know, another thing I look forward to is to kind of watch him grow up and
yeah.
father him and guide him and help him to develop into the person he is, you know. So it's very rewarding.
Did you feel that, I mean, I've heard people talk about, I think Ben said this too, that like the moment that it happens, you feel something change.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, Sierra says it's like the most, you know, you spend 9 months trying to like picture and to visualize what your life is going to look like, and it's impossible to do. But the second he's born, it's like, it was always supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
You know, it feels so normal and natural, and you feel like you've known him forever, but, you know, he's obviously new to you. But
yeah,
that's one of the coolest things too. It just feels so natural, even though it's something that you have no idea what you're doing and no idea how to be a parent yet, but you know that he was intended to be in your life. So
yeah,
it's definitely a rewarding experience. Just to know that the Lord trusted me with the gift of life is an amazing experience
yeah.
in itself. So we definitely want to do it again, I think.
That's good. How long do you want to wait?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about it.
Yeah.
We know we want them to be somewhat close in age, just so they can always be close. And
yeah.
I think that's one of the things Sierra values most about her family and me too, is that, you know, we're relatively close to our siblings, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we've had a great experience and connection with both of our siblings. So we want that for our kids too, and we want that with our family, to be close and to have a big family to where we can always share that. So
yeah,
that would be a life goal as well.
Do y'all both just have one sibling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the reason we think we want to have more than just two is just because we had, you know, relatively speaking, small families, and we enjoy that experience, but we want it to be
more
multiplied. We want it,
that makes
want
sense.
It times more. So we haven't really decided on a set number yet, but...
Yeah. Well, he's a cute kid.
Thank you. I like him. I think we're going to keep him.
Do you think he looks like one of y'all?
He looks like Sierra, definitely. His nose, I always tell people, you can see up his nose when you look at him, just like you can see up Sierra's. So, he's definitely got her nose.
And she loves that, right?
And she loves that, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if you, like, push it up a little bit,
uh-huh.
she looks like a Who.
Oh, right. From the movie The Grinch.
Yeah, yeah. So does Luke. So, definitely has her nose.
Baby Who.
Her eyes, too. The shape of her eyes.
Yeah.
So.
I don't see it.
He looks like her, I think.
I believe you. I just can't tell. Like, when Sam Witten was born, I felt immediately like he looked like Josh.
Yeah.
I was like, this is insane.
Yeah. Well, if you see Sierra's baby pictures, they look pretty...
They look like...
Pretty close, yeah.
I still don't even think he looks like Josh.
His nose.
I think he only looks like you and Caleb.
It's because he's fat. John's skinny.
That might be it. Let's talk about hockey.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk to it. Why do you like hockey so much?
You know what?
It's the greatest sport in the world.
One, it is the greatest sport in the world. It's
Why?
The fastest sport in the world.
Okay.
And I think, as a youngster...
You think it's faster than NASCAR?
Well, technically, no. But a sport that doesn't involve a car going around in circles. It's the fastest.
Okay, gotcha.
But I was a huge, like, diehard baseball fan growing up, and then my dad took me to a hockey game when I was, like, 10 or 11 and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch baseball from then on out. It's too slow.
You still haven't?
I mean, I watch it just to keep up with it, but I don't follow it like I follow hockey. I follow the Stars, so I don't know how it developed, but I just fell in love with it, and from then on I've been a diehard fan, which I've come to appreciate because there's not too many of us out there.
No, especially in the South.
Right.
And you look at the like amount of teams even, there's so many more above Tennessee and Kentucky than below, feel like. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a northern sport for sure.
Yeah.
A northeastern sport, and started in Canada, obviously, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've just fallen in love with the game. I love it.
Do you have any teams that you like other than the Stars?
I've always been partial to the Montreal Canadiens just because there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
And they're one of the original six teams.
Six. Yeah.
And that's always been like something I've wanted to do is travel to Montreal to experience the city and to see a Montreal Canadiens game because
that'd
it's
be
like
cool.
Nothing else. Nothing else you can experience.
Who are the original six? Detroit, Boston,
Montreal, Chicago.
Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the New York teams.
And the Rangers.
That's five.
Who else do we name?
Boston, Detroit, Montreal, New York, Chicago.
I don't know.
One of the Cali teams? California?
No.
Minnesota?
Nope. I don't know the other one.
That's annoying. I gotta look, though. Are you getting it? Josh. Josh has got it.
Philly, maybe? No, that isn't.
The Philly? Or
no,
Philly?
That doesn't sound right. I don't know.
Disappointed in
I should know that, but I don't know it.
Are there teams that you...
Boston.
We said Boston.
Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Detroit. Montreal.
Montreal.
New York. Toronto.
Toronto.
There you go.
The Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Are there teams... Is there a team or are there teams that you just absolutely hate? Like that you never want to see succeed?
Detroit.
Really?
You know, in the Stars' heyday, back in the
late
90s when they were always competing for the Cup,
yeah.
Detroit was always kind of in their way, so... And if you've ever gone to a Detroit game against anyone, you'll understand why everyone hates Detroit.
It's
because it's like the traveling circus. It's like the Yankees of the NHL.
The Lakers.
Yeah. The bandwagoners. You know, you go to the stadium and there's more Detroit fans there than there is Stars fans. And,
yeah,
you know, not all of those are transplanted fans. They're just bandwagoners. So you can't help but hate them.
Well, it's cool now to just wear hats based off of the colors. Nobody cares about the team names anymore.
And that's stupid.
I agree.
You shouldn't be allowed to do that ever.
I made fun of a lot of guys this semester because they would wear a hat and I would just say, oh, you're a Sharks fan? Like, no.
I like the colors. It's a fashion
statement. They do have cool colors, but yeah, it's all about fashion.
Yeah, screw that.
And guys wearing Spurs shirts on Spurs days, like Spurs games, and I go, oh, you're a Spurs fan? Like, no.
Yeah, that's like cool the Spurs fans are the equal, Detroit's fans are the equal of Spurs fans.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, when they come around, they play the Mavs, like, oh, everyone's a Spurs fan. It's all over Facebook.
Ah, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Similar to that.
I see.
You just can't help but, like, you're not a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
You're
not
a Detroit
real
fan.
Spurs fan.
You're not a Detroit fan.
Yeah.
You're just here.
You're not a Lakers fan.
No.
You're not a Yankees fan.
And when I go to the games just because they're really fun, those ones specifically.
Yeah.
But you can't help but hate them.
Is Detroit the team that throws the octopus out?
It is.
And then there's fish teams, right? Isn't there a fish team?
I don't know.
When do
I
you throw
so.
The octopus?
When
like
they score.
Significant. Oh, it's just when they score?
Yeah, just when they score.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's random. It's frowned upon now, but...
Yeah.
I forget the backstory to it. I mean, there's some random story to it, but...
Who cares?
This Detroit, so I don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. If you had to make... Okay. All-time greatest team. Okay, you get like a fantasy draft. You can pick. They don't have to be a same time frame. It can be Gretzky and somebody today. Who are your starting five and six? Your starting goalie and your starting five.
Oh, okay. Well, Gretzky's got to be there.
As your center? Is he a center? Or is he,
he was a center.
Okay.
most of the greats were center.
Center. Mm-hmm.
So Gretzky, Mario Lemieux.
Okay.
Center.
What team was he on?
He played for a couple. He played for the Rangers, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But he was one of the greatest ever played. Crosby.
Sid.
He's
Kidd.
Also a center. One of the great that ever
played.
So
would you just put those two at forward?
Yeah. I mean, they're so good.
Who
they
cares?
Can play wingers.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. They're that good.
Okay.
I guess for defense,
mm-hmm.
you have to do someone like Phil Housley. He was one of the
okay.
best that ever played. And then like Nick Lidstrom, maybe.
Okay.
He's a recent
defender.
He
still played, right?
He just retired a couple years
retired.
Ago.
Okay.
But honorable mention has to be Mike Modano.
He's your sixth man.
Oh, yeah.
And then who's your goalie?
I don't know. I don't know who'd you pick there, because...
Who's the Canucks guy that's like 45 now?
He's not that old, but Luongo.
Luongo.
But Martin Brodeur, he's
Brodeur.
Freaking old.
Yeah.
And he was really good. There's a lot you could put there, but the...
Yeah.
Back in the day, the goalie positions changed a lot, so...
How so?
Well, I mean, they used to... Just the style. Now they drop down into, like, butterfly whenever a puck comes their way, and, you know, just the style of goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
They used to stand up exclusively. They never dropped their...
They never dropped down?
No.
Not
the
even,
style
like,
of the game.
To fall down to, like, cover a puck or something?
No, they do that, but it, like, naturally, whenever there's a shot, goalies are trained to immediately drop to their knees into butterfly,
yeah.
so... It's just different. Just different.
Wusses.
Back in the old good old days.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do you like any other sports at all?
I do. I like following all of them. You know,
yeah.
I watch football. I watch baseball, but I don't ever keep up and religiously watch them like I watch hockey.
Yeah.
And the Stars specifically. So. But yeah, I do enjoy sports. I'm watching them.
How do you feel about the Stars right now?
I feel like we're heading in a good direction. This last season,
really
we made it to the playoffs.
Now,
yeah. Made it to the playoffs for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. It was a little bit devastating how they went out, but we're looking good.
Yeah, that was a rough game.
We're looking good for the future.
It's a really rough game.
I'm excited. I'm going to forget about this year.
Cool.
Yeah, we got a good team.
Who do you think is the most promising player? Jamie?
Yeah, probably Jamie Benn. He's the most well-rounded.
Is he a center?
He's actually a winger now.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Let's see. How's your job?
It's good. It's stressful. It's busy right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting ready for the fall. It seems like we're always getting ready for the fall. And just with enrollment in general, it's all around numbers. How many students are you going to bring in? And, you know, they always want you to project that. And it's always really difficult to do. So you try to narrow it in the best you can. But it's stressful until you get there. Until you actually have the number and you know where you stand. I feel like it's always kind of a stressful place to be. So.
Yeah. Why did you get into higher ed? Or did you mean to? Like,
I think for me, and like most people end up in higher education administration, a lot of times they kind of fall into those jobs, meaning it's not something when you go to college and when you think about what you want to do when you grow up, it's not necessarily someone that says, I want to be a higher education administrator. I want to be in higher ed for my career. That's typically not the experience most people have, and it wasn't the experience I had either. But out of college, I had the opportunity to work at Hardin-Simmons, and you know, it kind of early on, I figured out that it was a pretty good blend of my strengths and what I like to do, and I decided to stick with it. So
That's
kind of how I ended up in it. But I wouldn't say I planned that out for myself. It just so happens that I fell into something I enjoy, and it's something that I could definitely see a career out of at this point. So,
did you go into school with something that you wanted to do? Like, did you have an idea your freshman year of what you wanted to do the rest of your life?
No, I don't think I did, to be honest with you. You know, my dad owns his own business, and he's a contractor in Dallas, and my mom's a teacher, so I didn't really have, you know, they encouraged me to follow what I enjoyed and what I wanted to do, and I don't think I had that narrowed down as an 18-year-old, and most 18-year-olds don't. But I think as I started getting into college and a couple of years down the road, I think for me, I picked what I ended up studying because I enjoyed it mainly.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that I'm going to study this so I can be this one day.
Sure.
It was mainly I picked that because I enjoyed studying it, and it's been, I think for me, my degree specifically has been helpful getting me to where I want to be in higher education.
Yeah.
It just happened on accident. It wasn't
a
planned thought.
That's probably, were you like that too? Yeah,
which I
like
wouldn't
Josh
recommend for most
that.
People coming in. If you if you have an idea and you have a clear path to pursue that, I think that comes easier, especially within the economy these days, than you know, trying to figure out as you go. But for me, it's worked out thus far, and I'm trusting it'll continue to.
Do you have, like, a dream position, like something that you are working toward that you'd really
I think I would want to be in executive leadership at a university one day or a college to make those strategy level decisions and kind of impact where the institution is heading and going. I think that's ideally where I want to end up and where I want to be one day.
Yeah.
So.
What size school? Do you have a preference?
Likes
the microphone.
I think, I mean, I've had a taste of private education with Hardin Simmons, obviously, and now a taste of public education. They both got their pros and cons, and they both have their challenges, obviously. But for me, I think because I had such a good experience at Hardin Simmons, and that's just where my heart is and where I'm passionate about,
mm-hmm.
I think one day I'd like to end back up long term and private education. Maybe it's not Hardin Simmons, but I think that's
something like that.
I think there's a place in the economy for those schools, even though they are insanely expensive, just because of the experience I got out of it. And to help other individuals and students kind of find what I found at Hardin Simmons, I think is the motivation for me getting back into private education. But I mean, I'd be happy in public education too. There's a need there as well, but I just think from my personal experience, I'd be better fit in that in a private education environment. So.
Do you need to feed him?
I do.
Feed him.
Okay.
We can just leave it running.
Are you hungry?
If something funny happens, we have it.
What time is it?
3:27.
We need to get you some food!
See purpose. And some people have defined it personally, like, my purpose is to do this. Others have defined it very generally, like our purpose as humanity, or even as Americans, or even as whatever. So, you know, I kind of leave that up to you, however you want to see that. But one thing that I wrote down earlier, when you were talking about Luke, you said how you and Sierra talked about, like, once he was here, it seemed like this is how it always was supposed to be, and that we just naturally knew how to take care of the son and stuff. And so I'm guessing that would plug into whatever you think your purpose statement or, like, view would be.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was an interesting quote, so I wrote it down. So I leave that to you.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I mean, I see my purpose as leading my family first and foremost, and I think that's my primary objective in life and what drives me, regardless if it's my career or, you know, just even actions in general. I think that's at the forefront, is making decisions and being a leader for our family.
Yeah.
So that's my overriding purpose. I think, you know, generally speaking, I think what I try to follow and to emulate as best I can in general is that is, I mean, for me, I think my whole goal in life is to create value for someone. And I don't know what that particularly looks like, but I feel that I want to work in higher education because I want to create value for the institution, and I want to create value for the students who are enrolling in the programs. I think that that's my drive for being in higher education. I think one of the biggest detriments to our society right now and to our generation, you know, those of us who have graduated recently or recently graduating millennials, I think that we approach relationships and just life and everything we encounter, I think our generation approaches it as, I'm doing this because I want someone to give me value. I want to take this job because I will make money. I want to take this job because I like working for this company. Or I want to move to New York because I like the city. You know, or the city, whatever. I feel like that's the biggest detriment to our society, and I think that's what spawned the whole entire selfie craze. It's look at me, you know, and I feel that's the exact opposite of how I want to view my life and how I want to view my actions and how I want to teach even my son how to view what he does. Is you should approach things, how can I create value for someone else, you know, regardless of what you're doing. You know, if you're writing a blog, how are you creating value for your readers? If you're writing a blog so you can see, people can look at you, and you're an attempt to be famous one day. I mean, I think you're going about it the wrong way, and I think ultimately going down that road, you'll be unsatisfied at the end. So I think that's my overall kind of purpose statement, is, you know, personally for me, this is to be the leader of my family, but secondly, you know, to approach my day and trying to create value that day for someone else and for specifically the institution I work for. I think if everyone just kind of approached their job and their life and, you know, that way, I think we'd have a better society, and we wouldn't end up with so many of us millennials searching for jobs and,
yeah,
you know, staying at home with our parents. Not that there's other motivating factors behind that, but I think one of the biggest one is we just have a very bad view on why we're here and what we're doing. So
yeah,
I think that would be my overriding purpose statement, I guess, for my life and for what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I know that's a very well put answer, because for some people that's really hard to put into words, I think.
Yeah.
Just whatever it is they think. So it's cool to see that you just like seamlessly put that together, because I didn't tell you that we were going to talk about that.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's one of the things I've always tried to emulate in my life is to approach the things that I do that way, even if it's something minuscule, you know, something that I enjoy doing, or
yeah,
you know, a hobby, you know, create value for someone else, you know, and find avenues to where you can create value for someone else, and you can work towards something that some other people enjoy,
yeah,
or that they receive value from, and ultimately I think it'll be more rewarding and satisfying in the end. You know, I think that's why, you know, you read all the time in the paper these days that people job hop every 5 years now. It's like, I think that's because our society is moving more towards what is a job that I provide for me, as opposed to what can I provide this company with, what can I provide this institution with, what can I provide this school with, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, they just view it as, well, I'm not making enough money here, or I don't have good enough benefits here, or this isn't the hours I want to work, or, you know, just things like that. I think people view their job more so that and than a light of, why am I here? What am I doing? And how does this fit into the institution's role? And how can I benefit the institution?
Right. Right, Luke?
Having a temper tantrum here.
He just wants you to pay attention to him.
Sorry.
Exactly what you were talking about.
I know.
It's all about Luke. Just all the time.
I do tell, jokingly, I tell Sierra that the first time I catch Luke taking a selfie, I will take his phone and smash it.
I think that's a good thing.
And then I will make him pick up the pieces and say, clean this mess up.
With his mouth.
No more selfies.
When do you want to give Luke a cell phone?
I don't know. Dude, that's weird. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that.
Bailey and I have like already talked about
that. We have
to
think about.
Yeah.
It's like, his friends are going to have him when he's like 6 years old, you know?
Yeah, which is insane. And that just creates the problem where he comes home and he's like, where's my cell phone?
Yeah, I don't know what the line is. I don't know. Because you want to get in contact with him at some point.
But if
you don't want them playing like video games and having access to a phone where they're staring at a screen all day long, so.
And porn.
And porn,
just
yeah.
Really, really simple, quick porn. Right, Josh?
Good porn avenue there.
Just kidding, Josh. I think that's what I want the line to be, 16. Even though, like, 80% of his friends. Oh, yeah. Let's make it a law.
Should be a law.
Maybe the line is when my son or daughter is driving. When
yeah.
It's necessary for them to have a phone.
Yeah, I mean, there's times that you would want to get into contact with them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be.
Or if they, like, were going to school in the middle of a city or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I had a lot of friends that went to First Baptist Academy, and so they were literally downtown Dallas, like middle of downtown.
Yeah.
A lot of them got phones because their parents were worried about. That was when it was just becoming more and more common for students to have phones before
yeah.
driving.
Yeah, I don't
Did
know
a lot
what
of
that
your friends
line
have
is.
A phone before they were driving?
What's your address?
2302 Post Oak.
Ooh.
2302
Post Oak.
Post Oak.
Who are you talking to? Josh?
Yes.
Oh. Phones.
What else you got for me?
There's something else I was going to ask you about, Luke. Oh, are you scared at all of, like, anything? Did you have this, like, innate fear?
I don't know immediately. I don't think I was ever fearful, and I think that's just me and Sierra's personalities more than anything. We're more, I wouldn't say laid back. I don't know what the term is, but we're not as, oh my gosh, he just ate a jelly bean. We need to take him to the doctor type thing. But
sure.
I think.
Speaking of, you don't have any jelly beans.
I don't have any jelly beans.
It's a bad thing.
Which was another one of our ideas.
Would you show that to Shark Tank? Toasted jelly beans?
Toasted jelly bellies. We're going to make a food truck out of that. All we do is just toast jelly bellies.
Toasted cherry.
But anyway. there are some fears that we have for. I mean, just with access to the internet alone is fearful enough for us. I mean,
sure.
And, you know, just with the access to the internet and all the different avenues where they can be subject to inappropriate contact with someone or something, it's just limitless these days. And so I think that's one of our biggest fears is how do we properly educate our kids on what is out there and what you need to be wary of and what is our role in that? How do we guide them and how do we protect them from that in some extent, but also help them have their own personal value system that deters them from going down these certain paths that can lead to, you know, pornography or abuse or, you know, just put them in bad situations, because I think that's becoming more prevalent these days as the internet technology becomes far-reaching. It's just, that's our biggest fear is when do we educate our son about it?
Yeah.
I mean, because even now, I mean, as early as, you know, first, second, third grade, you have to start thinking about these things because they're coming into contact with these different mediums.
And yeah.
For us, that's our biggest fear is how do we properly educate him? And for us, we wanted to, at some point, shape his value system to where this is what he believes because he believes it, not because of what we told him to.
Yeah.
And so having him develop that on his own, you know, that's kind of our biggest fear is how do we set that up and how do we set up the parameters to say this is where we deem it's okay to act within, but we want to give you freedom to act within those.
Yeah.
And those parameters that we set. And for us, that's the hardest part of parenting, I think, in this day and age is you didn't have to worry about some of that stuff so much, you know, even just as short as a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with your cell phone and you can access any of that. So that's our biggest fear. And just to have appropriate relationships, I guess. You know, be a man. What does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, teach him those characteristics. That's another one of our fears and kind of something that we're already thinking about now and actually, you know, praying about for him going forward. So.
Yeah,
and it's scary. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that are intimidating and scary as a parent. But you know, I think for us, we just have already made the decision that we're gonna have uncomfortable conversations with him, and we're not gonna be fearful of what he feels towards us because we have strong convictions about some things, and we want him to know about it.
Yeah,
so,
and that's really hard to do.
It is. It's really hard to. You know, like I said, you want your kids to think for themselves, but you want to set them up so they're not going to, I don't know. I mean, I hate to use the term. We want to be close parents to where we understand what's going on, what's going on in his environment. Because I think a lot of parents, they fall into that trap where they don't know that Snapchat or whatever can be abused.
Yeah.
And so we want to be close parents in that sense, but we also want to give him the freedom to make his decisions, knowing what the consequences will be.
You don't want to be a helicopter.
Right. And I think that's another thing important for us is that, especially working with higher education and working with this demographic of students, you see that all the time. We don't want to shelter him from failure. I think it's an integral part of life. I think some of the biggest accomplishments in my life have stemmed from failing in some sort of fashion.
Yeah.
And I think he's missing out on a critical component of life if we constantly shield him from that and constantly put him in scenarios where he's never going to fail. You know, I think that's another thing for us is we want to encourage that, and we want to encourage him to be who he is, and we want him to fail. And we want to be there when he fails to help him through it, but we want him to fail. You know, there's going to be some things where he's not going to be the best at. There's going to be some things where I'm not going to help him out through the hard times, and there's going to be some things he's going to get himself into that I can't solve for him.
Yeah.
And that's good. At some point, that's healthy. It's just, for us, we want to set those parameters and teach him his value system. Mm-hmm. But hey, these are the consequences, and sometimes you have to deal with it. I think that's healthy. I think that's another thing that's plaguing our generation is that you just, some people have never failed in life because they weren't given the opportunity to do so. There's valuable learning there. So.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? He said yes.
Is that what?
Yeah, that's what that means. But we're excited. We're thankful for him, and we're excited to see what he turns out to be.
Yeah.
What he's gonna do. And we want him to be a leader. We want him to be. Obviously, he's very vocal already.
Yeah, of course.
That's one of the exciting things about parenthood is, you know, just kind of seeing him pan out.
Seeing him grow.
Yeah.
It's been fun to watch. Sam Witten's really like the first child I've seen and been close to, I guess.
Yeah.
Slightly. And so seeing him change and develop and stuff has been cool, even from as far away as I am. It's like I can't imagine how cool it is for Josh and
yeah.
people that are really close to John and Elia to see that. So it'll be fun to watch the same thing happen with Luke.
Yeah. And it's weird to think about now that I'm actually a dad. You know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, and like you just said, he just started smiling, like, recently. Very recently. Not that he's smiling right now. But
it's nap time.
Go to sleep, buddy. Well, do you have any questions for me, Grant?
What is your goal with your series and kind of your podcast? What do you?
I don't know if I have a goal. I mean, I think I just want to do it consistently. I started it. I've been weak recently with this and the blog, but I've started both of them to express myself, because I kind of like took a really anti-expression stance for a while.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about selfies, and I kind of saw he's not happy. Oh, he's fine. I saw Twitter and Facebook and Instagram all as very self-centered pieces. And I got super cynical about it, so I just like stopped using any of it. And I was just talking to Jared Anderson one day, and I was going to write my favorite things list for the year, for 2013. And
like Oprah.
Like Oprah, except I don't give all of my friends a bunch of free stuff. And realized that we had just been talking about how I wanted to delete my Facebook, because I was so sick of it, and negative, and whatever. And I said, oh, but I've got to, like, the only reason I have it right now is because I want to make my list. And he said, just make a blog. So I decided to make a blog, and I started listening to podcasts a lot in the last year and just thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
Like, I've had good conversations with people.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And
I mean,
realized, oh, well, I can just record this. I mean, it makes it a little less natural, but it's still good.
Yeah.
So my goal, I guess I do have a goal. I want to start having people on that I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it'd be cool to get big names. We don't have to, but just anybody interesting.
Like President Obama.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I look seriously, but that would never happen.
What's the most interesting thing you've learned about someone or doing this process? Or what's the most interesting component of it?
Well, if you're going on the most interesting component, if you're going on the practical side of it, it's been a lot more difficult than I thought it would be.
Really?
Like, to make, record, edit, post, update, and get onto iTunes, it was much more difficult than I thought it would be. Because I just pictured, I mean, I know
I was going to record and then I'm done.
Pretty much. I mean, I knew that you'd have to edit it down a little bit and probably change the sound quality. But especially the iTunes thing, like posting a podcast, I just pictured literally dragging and dropping a file into a window. But that's not how it works at all. Because you have to have a feed, and you have to have a host, and you have to have all these things that like still don't make sense to me. And I just had to learn about those. But I'd already bought the microphone, and I'd already recorded an episode, and so I was like, I gotta do it now. I can't back out now. But I would love to have, like, I've talked to your sister about having, like, Casey or Trey on, people that I don't know.
Yeah.
That are super interesting people, or like trying to get Aaron Watson or somebody random through connections that we have, trying to find somebody like that and have zero context, like go into an episode with no notes or ideas of what to talk about and go from there. I think that'd be really cool. I want to learn from it. But also, I mean, you asked, like, what's been the most interesting thing I've learned. I think Kelly Pigott's was really cool because he taught me a lot of ways, like, new ways to see things and use language. So, like, there were words and phrases that he used that I just didn't... I had never heard before, or I had never learned. And so he gave me, like, a different dimension into talking about purpose and talking about, like, God and love and things that I like talking about. He made it deeper.
Yeah.
So I've been able to take that away from it, and then I feel like I do learn something every episode.
Yeah.
Even if it's little, I feel like I learned something. And it's just cool to see perspective, especially around something like purpose that's so broad and generic, but really meaningful.
Right.
And everybody's totally different. Totally. And there's a lot of themes, like your answer, Kelly Pigott's answer, and Jeremy Rhodes' answer, and John Hunt's answer. They're similar. There's a lot of, like, common themes, but it really, like, it can vary, and it can really change who you are and, like, why you do things.
Yeah.
So, I'm just interested. And I think all of it is just a search for what I believe as well.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
It's all good stuff. But we'll see. I want to get more consistent and record more, and I want to hear people. I want to know that people are listening, not selfishly, but because I want to. I just want to share it.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Like, Taylor Horn is my most consistent follower, and she always gives me feedback. And my brother's listened a little bit, so it's cool to see that. It'd be fun to know that there are others that I don't even know that are, like, reaching out.
Yeah,
and they're saying,
listening.
Like,
to
this
it.
Is cool. So. I don't care if I get to a Mark Maron or Pete Holmes level or not. It'd just be, it's just cool to know that there's people hearing me. So
definitely.
Yeah. There you go. Those are my answers.
Cool.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Well, that's it.
That's what you're looking for?
That's it.
You good?
Yeah, I think so.
Good.